Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about the key to supernatural power. The key is meekness, the last thing that the world would ever consider the route to power or the key to power. Do you remember who Jesus said would inherit the earth? He said the whole world belongs to them. Not weakness, far from it. But the word meekness. Don't ever confuse meekness with weakness. One of the things which characterizes the meek spirit is the readiness to be taught, to be shown. And I told you about my dear Canadian mom, who said that when her husband died, she thought of all sorts of things she should have done that she didn't do and all sorts of things that she should not have done that she did do. And she said, "Oh, Lord, why didn't you show me?" And he said, "Because you weren't ready to be shown." And I'm afraid that that is true of my life so often. When God in his mercy and love and kindness has been setting before me lessons to be learned, I didn't learn them because I wasn't ready to be shown. The Spirit of Christ is a spirit of meekness. He says, "Come to me, you who are tired and overburdened, and I will give you rest." But you have to do two more things. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart," or gentle and humble in heart, "and you will find rest for your souls." The only way that you and I can learn true meekness is to come, to take his yoke, and to learn. And I see that yoke as a double yoke for two oxen. Jesus has bent his neck under one side of that yoke. The yoke, I believe, is the will of the Father. Jesus said when he came to earth that he came to do the will of his Father. Nothing else, nothing more, and nothing less. So when I bend my neck also under that same yoke, I am accepting the will of God in my life. I am surrendering my life to him. And it is then as I bend my neck that I'm in a position to learn. I am meek and teachable. And we will not learn of God without obedience. How do we grow in grace? By obedience. By obedience. By obedience. Yes, but that's a legalistic doctrine, people will say. That's a legalistic kind of salvation. We have to earn our salvation. No. No, 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 no. 1,000 times no. We're saved by grace through faith. But God's grace goes to work on our nature. And he has given us the freedom to choose. We can choose to defy him. We can choose to murder, to sin, to commit anything against his will, and he will not stop us necessarily. All we need to do is look around. We don't need to look at anybody else to realize that God has permitted all kinds of evil in the world. For one reason, I believe, because God does not want automatons, robots. He wants creatures who will choose freely to love him and to serve him. But our growth in grace will depend upon the measure of our surrender to the will of God. And surrender means obedience, to do what he tells us. We are to mortify our whims. Meekness means to mortify our whims, to accept setbacks, to accustom ourselves to injustice and misunderstanding, as Jesus did. I can just hear the howls of dismay. Accustom myself to injustice and misunderstanding, but it's wrong. That would be codependency. Now let's stop and look at the Bible. Was Jesus wronged? Yes, he was, most emphatically. And so are we. Was he trespassed against? And so are you and I. There's no fussiness in the Spirit of Christ. No self-centered thought of, but what about my needs? That never crossed his mind. Is his standard too high? Yes. The standard is too high. You and I can't possibly reach it by ourselves. You're not listening to a woman characterized by meekness in my nature. Not for one moment. But am I willing to be taught? Willing to be given that spirit? Do I want to be meek? Yes, in general I do. When it comes right down to the test, for example, if I disagree with my husband, my immediate reaction is to argue the case, feeling quite sure that I am a very good debater and I might be able to defeat him. But God is teaching me meekness. Do we want to inherit the earth? Oh, yes. But that inheritance is exclusively for what class of people? The meek. To inherit the earth, we must be meek. My friend Arlita Winston reminded me when we were talking about these things about how the meek are not those who trust to their own organizing powers and abilities. And she referred to the story of Gideon. God reduced Gideon's army by 99%. And the weapons were reduced to pitchers, to trumpets, and torches. Not very helpful weapons, it would seem. Their military strategy was reduced to standing still and watching the Midianites kill each other. They were thick as locusts, and the camels couldn't be counted any more than the sand on the shore. But this was a demonstration of God's strength in the face of man's weakness. You and I are meant to be broken pitchers, giving a clear call and being obedient. Gideon didn't even mind being called a barley loaf. The Word of God demands meekness, docility, obedience. Many proofs. And you know, one of the things that I find very interesting about the story of Gideon is that he was not a brave man. He was scared. He was really quite cowardly. He went by night to demolish the altar when he was told to demolish it. And he felt that God had chosen the wrong tribe and the wrong clan and the wrong individual. But God used Gideon to do the job that needed to be done. Well, we've been saying this week that meekness is teachability. It's also the manifestation of a deep charity. And it is reverence for the mysterious operation of God's grace. That means a willingness to wait for God's answer. So many times lately I've heard about awful conflicts in churches. Christians are supposed to be the people who love each other, the people whose unity signals to the rest of the world that they are different, that they love God. And yet it's so far from unity and love and brotherly kindness that we see in so many churches. And in one church that I know of, I felt as though I knew what the problem was. I could solve it if I could just get people to listen to me. Well, there wasn't any way that I could get people to listen to me anyway, and I prayed. But God was reminding me that true prayer is reverent in its willingness to wait for God's answer, for the unfolding of God's answer, for that mysterious operation of grace. With my temperament, I'm tempted to plow into things. What about yours? In your marriage, do you think you know what the solution is if you could just get your spouse to do it? In the church, is it somebody else who's causing the problem? In others' lives, do you think you could straighten them out? I have so many letters from women whose husbands are not on the same spiritual wavelength with them. What can I do, they want to know. How can I bring my husband to Christ? How can I persuade him to have family devotions with the children, to go to church regularly, to live like a Christian? This is where we need God's meekness, reverence to wait for the mysterious operation of grace. That doesn't mean to do nothing. We are to pray, and we are certainly to exemplify in our own lives that spirit of meekness. But let's not imagine that we can take things into our own hands. I was talking to a woman just this last week in Alaska. She was telling me that her husband didn't go to church, and he didn't really like her to go to church, and it was causing a great deal of conflict. And I said something which might seem outrageous to some of you, but I think it's right. The Bible is very clear that wives are to submit to their husbands. And I suggested to this woman that she say to her husband, "Honey, I love you, and you know how much church means to me. But because you don't want me to go, and this is causing continual conflict among them, I will happily stay home if that is really what you're telling me to do." Well, there were three or four women standing there, and they all went, "Wow, does that sound heretical?" I said to them, "You know, that attitude of meekness and quietness and gentleness and love might really disarm your husband. If you came to him with that spirit, God might change his mind." Well, then again, he might not. Are you reverent enough to wait for the mysterious operation of grace? Meekness is teachability, deep down charity, and reverence.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.